It's time for Let's Talk Legal with your host, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell & Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 1-800-818-2255, and let's talk legal.
Let's Talk Legal with Harvell & Collins, attorneys at law, the right advice at the right time. And with us this morning, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Ben.
Good morning, Ben.
All right, what are we talking about today?
Ben, today we're going to continue the topic that we introduced last week, which was basically explaining and demystifying, if you will, kind of the jurisdictional limitations in our civil court system.
Mm-hmm.
These words all get thrown together, everything from Supreme Court to mm-hmm. Court of Appeals to Superior Court, District Court, Magistrate Court, Juvenile Court,
mm-hmm.
Probate Court. What do all of these courts mean? How do you place your why and when do you place your matter before a specific court?
Right.
So we want to continue to talk to our listeners about that and explain what the requirements are for the various courts in our state.
Okay, we were talking about magistrate court, the people's court.
Right. We jumped around a little bit last week, but you know where you start is the magistrate court, which is the lowest level of the trial court. And normally the magistrate court is going to handle things like landlord-tenant disputes,
mm-hmm.
Evictions, those type things.
But because $10,000 limits.
Right? Yeah, that's right. But because the limit, jurisdictional limit, increased to $10,000 several years ago, there's now, I think, more other type cases there, mm-hmm. like breach of contract cases and that type of thing. The magistrate court generally is set up so that folks really without an attorney mm-hmm. can handle their cases. Sometimes I go to magistrate court sometimes on various things. Sometimes there are attorneys, you know, on the other side, just depends on what the circumstances are.
Mm-hmm.
But it is somewhat of a freebie as well, though, because, you know, once you go forward and you put your case forward before the magistrate, you do have the right to an appeal de novo, which is a free start over.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're talking about the magistrate court itself, though, it's somewhat relaxed as it relates to the rules of evidence. For example, if you have a witness that you need to put, you know, testimony on through, then you can normally do that through an affidavit in most
right.
jurisdictions, but I can tell you in some particular counties, mm-hmm. jurisdictions, they won't allow you to do that.
Right.
But they'll allow just kind of strange things, sometimes the attorney to even testify about mm-hmm. what they know about it. So you kind of have to know the lay of the land with regard to who you're going before.
Right.
It's a little different than maybe your district court.
Does each county have
court.
A number of magistrates and more than one? Or?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There are various magistrates. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like in Onslow County, for example, you know, we have a certain magistrate that handles almost all those small claims mm-hmm. cases based on my experience. And the way that she deals with cases is a little bit different than mm-hmm. some of the other magistrates, but a little bit relaxed with regard to your evidence, rules of evidence. You know, you're not going to be in a magistrate court case. You're not going to go take depositions.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to serve discovery. It's a quick trial type situation.
Right. But that's where, as you said, it gets up to 10,000. If it gets more complicated, then that's where the de novo appeal, I'm going to imagine, is justified.
Right. Well, the case itself could maybe be filed as a case where maybe the amount of controversy might be a little bit over 10,000, but the plaintiff decides, well, I'm going to try to keep it simple, so let's make it 10.
Uh-huh.
But then the defendant, you know, could lawyer up. The defendant could bring a counterclaim back against the plaintiff. Mm-hmm. It could get more complicated. And then, you know, there will be some decisions to make as to whether we want to, if I were representing the plaintiff, whether we want to proceed in magistrate court or whether we want to dismiss that case and refile in district court or what mm-hmm. we want to do.
Right.
You know, it just depends, on the circumstances. Just like every file and every situation, you have to look at the facts and circumstances to properly advise your client, make the right decision.
If you get a decision, though, and some people say, well, you know, how do you follow through with that? How do you execute the judgment on that?
Yeah, well.
Well, that's, of course, two or three programs in and of itself.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, we can touch on that briefly. I mean, obviously, mm-hmm. when you get your judgment and there's not an appeal,
mm-hmm.
then it's a piece of paper that says someone owes you money that goes on record
right.
that then attaches to their real property. You can force execution mm-hmm. on it. But like Cecil said, that is a show in and of itself. But I would tell you with regard to that, the likelihood you're going to have success in collecting through an execution of that judgment is not that great unless you have legal counsel helping you with that part
right,
of it
right.
because it does get complicated.
And yeah. that aspect of collecting on your judgment, which is, of course, you know, the real end game, as I know you know, Ben, mm-hmm. you know, applies whether it's magistrate court, district court, superior court, whatever the case might be. I mean, any litigation is going to eventually end in some sort of resolution, be it a settlement or be it a jury trial or be it a judgment. And of course, the judgment then, and the collection of a judgment, is a body of law in and of itself. Now, to move on here a little bit, Wes, the district court level, what are the jurisdictional limitations on that?
Right. So we're up to $25,000
right.
on your district court level. You know, if you're dealing with family law issues, a lot of times there'll be judgments related to like equitable distribution and those type things that exceed that. But if we're talking about a straight plaintiff versus defendant lawsuit, then mm-hmm. you're talking about that $25,000 jurisdictional limit. So you can end up in district court in a couple different ways. You can end up there as a result of filing your lawsuit there mm-hmm. originally. If the amount in controversy is, you know, the 25 or under, that might be something that you want to do. Typically, district court is going to be a little bit simpler than superior court. Mm-hmm. It still is, you know, the rules of evidence apply. You might conduct discovery. It's not a super quick trial. It takes a little while to get there. You do at the district court level, that's the first place where you'd have a right to request a jury. There is
right.
no such thing as a jury in magistrate court.
Right.
You can't even request one.
Mm-hmm.
So in many cases, the other way to get there is that, you know, you appeal from magistrate court.
Right. Right.
You file in small claims court and then a party appeals. Then where does it go? Does it mm-hmm. go to the North Carolina Court of Appeals in Raleigh? No, it goes to district court
mm-hmm.
and district court is where we then try that case all over again. So interesting issue there is that, you know, when you file your pleadings, when you file your papers in magistrate court, you know, normally you're using a pretty blanket AOC form document. It's
right.
just a document, fill in the blank kind of document. And there's no option in that complaint that you file for a jury because you can't have one in magistrate court. And a lot of times the pleadings in small claims court are pretty simple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to plead with so much particularity. So in the event that you file an action in small claims court,
mm-hmm.
it then is appealed up to district court. A lot of times if it gets to be, you know, a little bit more ramped up, maybe there's attorneys involved, so on and so forth.
Right.
Many cases the court will want that to be repleted or repled. Basically, there's a statute on point that says that once you get to that point, okay, fine, we're going to replead this case. And what that means is that the plaintiff files a new complaint.
Right.
Same case. And then
yeah.
the defendant
but
files a response so that we plead it like we normally would mm-hmm. as if we started in district court.
Right.
Also gives both parties a right to request a jury and those kind of things.
Well, and there you may have depositions, right?
Correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Depending on what the facts and circumstances are, you might want to depose some witnesses. You certainly, any witnesses you want to have testify, you're not going to do that through affidavit. You're mm-hmm. going to have them at the trial. Could be that you're subpoenaing witnesses to the trial. Could be you're serving written discovery on the case to get more information about the case. So yes,
it's exponentially a greater case.
Oh my goodness, yes. It goes, you know, very close to the same thing that you end up doing in mm-hmm. Superior Court, which is the highest level.
Mm-hmm.
So once you've gone through Magistrate Court and you appeal from that, you go to District Court and
right.
that's where you are once the case is resolved. You buy, you know, a verdict
mm-hmm.
or it could be a summary judgment, you know,
mm-hmm.
the things we've talked about before.
Right.
It could be a motion to dismiss, those type things. Then where is your right to appeal next? Well, do you appeal and then go to the next level of trial court, which is superior court? No. You appeal then up to the Court of Appeals.
Okay. So you bypass superior court at that point from an appeal from district court.
That's right.
Okay.
and the appeal is not de novo anymore.
Right.
I know we're getting a little bit complicated here.
But it's only on the merits. Right.
It is on whatever the record is.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever evidence you are planning to put on at district court, you better put it all on, and you better put your best foot forward. And mm-hmm. the reason why is because in the event that there's an appeal or you lose and you need to appeal, then the court of appeals is just going to examine the record. You don't get a do-over. Mm-hmm. You don't get to put in more evidence, so on and so forth.
Right. Well, you talked early on. I know when we did this show in the very beginning, Cecil, we talked about the funnel effect, you know, like putting a lot of things in the funnel, and eventually it comes down.
Well, we're beginning to see, you know, kind of the bifurcation between what we would call the trial level, which is magistrate, district, and superior court, and our appellate level, which, of course, is North Carolina Court of Appeals and North Carolina Supreme Court.
Right.
The appellate level, I think our listeners know, but it sits as a panel.
Mm-hmm.
It sits as a series of judges who are elected. And they then review the record, as Wes is referring to. They hear the arguments of the lawyers. They read the briefs and memorandums of the attorneys. And then they, as a panel, almost like a committee, if you will, make a decision, okay? Now, before we leave the district court, it's important for us to mention, Ben, that district court also has original jurisdiction over family law and juvenile matters.
Right.
So it is
where they start.
It's where they, exactly. So what do I mean by, you know, divorce, custody, equitable distribution, all of these things that we've talked about a little bit here on the program. Of course, when our children get in trouble, there we are in district court. If there's an issue with an underage citizen, then the district court judge is going to attempt to resolve that, many times with the assistance of Department of Social Services, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And then last but not least, I think our listeners know, boy, oh boy, is district court ever a busy place because it handles all of the misdemeanor criminal matters. This, of course, includes, you know, you're driving while under the influence, you're running a stop sign, you know, anything
traffic
and everything
offenses.
Having to do with a traffic offense, petty theft, shoplifting, minor possessions of different illegal substances, you know.
It's the busiest part of the court. It's a busy place,
the district court.
Right.
And the judges of our district court, who Wes and I highly admire, we need to keep in mind, boy, oh boy, do they have a diverse job description because they may be hearing a juvenile court matter, and then they may be hearing an equitable distribution or a divorce matter. And then they may be in traffic court or misdemeanor criminal. And then lastly, they may be impaneling a jury trial on a classic civil dispute between two folks.
Right.
So the district court is a busy place. Not that the other courts are not as well. That all of our courts are busy. That begs a question that we'll talk about one of these days next week or the week thereafter when we begin to kind of conclude some of the concepts here that we're talking about. But I think that we've talked about magistrate. We've now beginning to talk about district, and we'll move on here in a minute. But the district court, it is important that our listeners know that it handles these other types of cases other than just civil lawsuits.
That's why the wheels slow down a bit, quite a bit. We'll have more to come in a moment. If your questions are relevant, you want to call in right now, that'd be great.
800-818-2255, 247-7282, or 353-4674.
Hey, welcome back here. Coastal Daybreak here on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240. We've gone from Magistrate Court, talking about District Court, and a little bit into Superior Court.
Right. So, you know, let's finish up with District Court. You know, some questions that people may have is, you know, how long does it take for me to get to trial, those kind of things. And like some of the issues that Cecil brought up there, you know, the District Court is busy. And it does take some time to get to the point where your case rises to the top. You know, and basically you have civil sessions in district court every so often. They're not really set at a certain time. And normally, like Superior Court, you have certain sessions where you know where when the court is going to take place, and it's going to be a 1 week term, sometimes a 2 week term.
Mm-hmm.
In district court, normally you just have very short terms. It might be a day, it might be 2 days. So you have a short period of time for a lot of cases to move through.
Right.
So it might be, you know, a year before district court case upon it being filed mm-hmm. actually gets tried. Now there might be motions and things that are done in the interim, but it normally takes some time, you know, to get to that point. So as we've talked about, you know, the district court is that jurisdictional level, 25,000. And, you know, in the event that there's an appeal, that goes up to the Court of Appeals. So it really is, you know, acts, walks, talks, and acts like Superior Court. Very, very similar as far as that goes. So then the highest level of trial court in the state level in North Carolina is Superior Court. That's where I handle most of my cases. And that jurisdictional limit is just going to be, you know, over that $25,000 mm-hmm. basically is what we're looking at. And those kind of cases are really just all type cases. I mean, you might have an adverse possession case, a quiet title claim with regard to real estate. Mm-hmm. You could have, you know, an action for negligence. Someone was injured in a car accident. You could have med mal cases. You can have
medical malpractice
cases. You can have a will caveat, challenge to the will, mm-hmm. all the many twists and turns of estate litigation that mm-hmm. we deal with so much. Superior Court is where that lies.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that is really the tip top of, you know, the practice as it relates to the trial level.
And again, it's 25,000 up.
That's right. Correct.
There's no top limit here.
Right.
Okay, so, you know, $1 million case can mm-hmm. be handled in Superior Court and would be handled in Superior Court. The other courts had that top, you know, that top level,
mm-hmm.
you know, magistrate 10,000, district court 25,000. But now at the Superior Court, there is no, if you will, top level.
Right.
It can be any amount in controversy.
Sometimes you see the public press will say somebody is suing for X amount of dollars, but often it's just the low limit because they don't really it's not revealed necessarily in the complaint.
Well,
is that right?
What that is that you're required to plead things in a certain way.
Right.
Like, for example, in excess of $25,000 exclusive of interest and cost. Mm-hmm. Well, then you read in the newspaper.
Yeah, $25,000.
He's suing her for $25,000. No, what that means is it's in excess of $25,000. That's why we're in Superior Court.
Yeah,
and it might be $1 million.
Yeah,
right. So that's a reporter reading the complaint that doesn't understand that.
See it over
completely.
And over.
Yeah. So anyway, so again, all different types of cases. You have the right when you file your complaint in mm-hmm. Superior Court, to request a jury. You have a right if you're answering as the defendant to request a jury.
Mm-hmm.
You have the right if you're a cross party, third party mm-hmm. that's brought into the case to request a jury. So, you know, you have that constitutional right to have a jury trial there if you want to. If any party requests it, then there will be a jury trial. That's important. The only way to get to Superior Court, there's no appeal from magistrate, district, superior, district to superior, or any of that. It's you file in district court.
Yeah.
You file your lawsuit there, summons, complaint, mm-hmm. service, all of those things that you have to have, of course, in place. And, you know, as we've talked about before, it's your standard lawsuit now, just mm-hmm. at the highest level.
Right.
It usually takes about a year, if not a year and a half, to finally get to trial.
Mm-hmm.
But during that period of time, you know, we're working diligently on
discovery,
things.
Discovery, you have all sorts of things.
Discovery, depositions, you know, written discovery, subpoenaing records, going
again,
through records.
Narrowing that funnel down, right?
Exactly right.
Yeah, to get to the issues at hand.
Yeah.
We'll have more to come in just a moment here on Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins, attorneys at law, online at harvellandcollins.com. Hey, welcome back here. Coastal Daybreak here on the Talk Station, and Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins. So we're talking about the levels of court and talking about Superior Court. Is also original jurisdiction, Superior Court, 25,000 up as far as.
That's right. So the largest cases, you know, end up there. And again, you know, these could be the plaintiff defendant type cases, or they could be cases that are like will caveats, those kind of things. There are certain cases that just end up going to Superior Court. You know, I think I misstated a second ago, because you can end up in Superior Court on appeals from the clerk. That's important, because I said a second ago, the only way to end up there is to file there.
Right.
Well, really, the only way, there's two ways. You file there, or in the event you have maybe an issue before the clerk, maybe you have like a petition to partition.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you have, guardianship related matter, these type things. And you disagree with the finding of the clerk of court on these original jurisdiction type issues, estate related issues. Maybe there's a motion in an estate.
Where
about
the clerk
something.
Has original jurisdiction, but not sole jurisdiction.
That's right. But then you would have the right to appeal from that decision. And those appeals don't go to district court. They go up to Superior Court. Superior Court really is the court that oversees all estate related matters as well. But you have original jurisdiction in most issues dealing with estates at the clerk level.
Yeah.
But there's sometimes contested issues that you bring before the clerk, and then that appeal then goes up to the Superior Court.
And it can be on the clerk's motion too, can it? Can it go to the Superior Court?
It can be, but in many cases the clerk has to hear the matter first.
Mm-hmm.
And then there would be a right to an appeal. Now, typically, the standard for appeal when you're appealing on an estate matter from a clerk's decision is not a do-over. It's not a de novo.
Right.
It's normally abuse of discretion.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting in that our General Assembly, you know, under our law with regard to that, you know, gives a lot of authority to the clerk of court to make these decisions at this clerk level. And then the Superior Court really is just reviewing the record to determine whether there was abuse of the authority at that level. So that's
the judicial decisions by the clerk can be appealed, or what's appealed.
That's right. All right. That's right. Up to the Superior Court. The Superior Court then reviews, kind of like on a motion type thing, what the clerk did, and makes a determination as to whether it was correct or incorrect.
And then, as you were saying, the appellate system, you're talking about the district court being appealed and then going into the court of appeals. Same with Superior, right? You go to the court
of
appeals.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, you end up at the same place.
We should mention very quickly, Superior Court is felony criminal.
Right, right.
So it sits not only as civil, anything above $25,000, but it also is going to be the trial court level for criminal cases. Violations against the state that are of a felony nature that fall under the statutes that govern our criminal laws in the state of North Carolina.
Okay. All right. If you want to find out more, again, you need to be in that process somewhere. You want to call on the folks at Harvell and Collins at 252-726-9050, 1107 Bridges Street in Moorhead City.